thankful for amazing grace, aren't you? That's the only reason we're here tonight, is because of God's grace toward us. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll finish. Not finish, but we got one more after this lesson. We'll skip next Wednesday night because we have the Christmas party. Then we'll come back, I believe it's the 15th, something like that, and we'll finish this up. Tonight we're going to deal with the spirit of the mind, in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you remember, Pastor preached on Ephesians 4 and on forgiveness and verse 32. And we're going to look at the first part of this chapter, middle part of this chapter. Ephesians, church to Ephesus. Paul spent about 2 years there. He spent more time there than he did anywhere else. He loved the Ephesian people. He had heard of their faith. He said, I've heard of your faith. And he spent time there teaching them. And in this chapter, we're going to see where he's going to do a correlation between the unbelieving Gentiles and the way that we should be living as believers. And so we'll look at these verses. Verse 17, we'll start at verse 17 in chapter 4 of Ephesians. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." You ought to underline that, the vanity of their mind. Having, by the way, the reason that the flood came was because of the imagination of the people was only evil continually, and Genesis chapter 6 tells us that. It all starts in the mind. And if you've been in my Sunday school class, we've been dealing with that, been dealing with the thoughts and all those things that we have. But notice what he says here. He says in verse 18, "Having the understanding darkened." We wonder why the world acts the way they do. Their understanding is darkened. They don't have the understanding that we have, "being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Verse 19 says, "Who being past, feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now notice what he says in verse 20. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." He says, you're not like them. You've not learned them. But here's the proof of how you know that you have learned Christ. Not learn of Christ, but you've learned Him. You know Him. It's that personal relationship. Notice what he's going to say here. He says, "If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, then this is what ought to happen. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." And verse 23, here's our text. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, notice what he says, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. And so in this chapter, we're going to talk about the spirit of your mind, or the spirit of the mind. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, I sure need you, as I always do. And I just yield myself to you. And just, Lord, anything that I would want to say through the flesh, would you just stop it immediately, God? Give me the liberty that I need to be able to speak the truth to these folks tonight. God, give us just the word from you today. And Lord, I ask that you'd help us change. And Lord, just be with our mind. And we thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I give you a couple of statements. I don't know where this one came from. It was anonymous, so it could be mine. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Let me say that again. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. We also have it on the mind. Without God, it cannot think properly about matters of faith and morals. Another one said, Satan always attacks the mind first. The natural mind is bent toward evil thoughts. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, "Behind every tragedy of human character lies a long process of wicked thinking." Let me ask you this tonight. How's your thinking? How's the spirit of your mind? And how's the spirit of my mind? He tells us that we should not be as the Gentiles are. That in verse 17 he says, walking in the vanity of the mind. You know, the mind is a very, very interesting thing. You know, they've tried to study it. They've tried to figure out, how it stores things, how it brings to recall things. But can I just say, it's just God created us perfectly. No man can figure this thing out, but I can tell you this, is that when you get saved, something happens in your head. As long, you know what I'm saying, that you are a new creature. We'll look at that here in a little bit, but something happens in the mind. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't have thoughts of going to a school and shooting kids. Right? Who can have those thoughts? Somebody who has their mind that is darkened and somebody who has not come to the knowledge of God. But we as the children of God, we think different than the rest of the world does. Like when tragedy happens, yes, we have sorrow in our heart and yes, it hurts. But yet we have hope like others that don't have hope. We're not like others that have no hope, but we have hope. Listen, that the way we think doesn't make sense to the lost world. And by the way, it should make sense to the lost world. They don't understand why you went to church tonight. But your thinking is different. You're thinking, I need to go to church tonight because if you got kids, they need to be in master clubs. Or if you have youth, they need to be in the youth. And I need to be underneath the preaching of God's word. See, that just kind of thinking don't make sense. And listen, usually in the Bible, I used to say this all the time at the seminary, if it doesn't make sense, it's usually God. Right? Think about Joshua goes to the city of Jericho and he says, guys, I've got a plan to destroy the city. He gathers all the men together and they go, all right, they got their pen out and they're ready to write it down. And Joshua says, we're going to march around once a day for 7 days. On the seventh day, we're going to march seven times and the horns are going to blow and the walls are going to fall down. Joshua, I got a question, right? No, we don't see that in the Bible. They just believed him and they done it. Listen, when Moses went to the burning bush, that didn't make sense, right? But that God's way of thinking and God's way of doing things is different than the world's view. But let me ask you this. How do you renew the spirit of your mind, as it tells us in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind? I give you three things. They're right here in the scripture. Look at verse 22. Number one, we see the put off. Notice what he says, the put off concerning. And in this, we'll talk about taming the thinking. Taming the thinking. In verse 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation. And that conversation simply means the way of living and the way that they were thinking. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. Now, he says that if you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, there's got to be some thing. There's something you have to put off. You got to take the old man off and not wear him and not allow him to have a place in your life. Why? Because you got to tame your thinking. You realize when you quit reading your Bible, quit coming to church, the way you think can go back to the old way really quick. The anger you used to have, the jealousy, the lust, all the things that you used to think can come right back. And by the way, the devil's a master at putting things in front of us that causes our minds to get off track from God. Somebody asked me today, they said, why don't you go home on Wednesdays? And I said, well, the reason I don't is because I want to be in the right frame of mind when I preach. And I cannot get out in the traffic and be in the right frame of mind to get back here. Can I get a witness? So I heard just some of y'all's stories. It took you 45 minutes to get here. It should have took you 20. And literally, I don't leave on Wednesdays when I'm preaching because I don't want to mess with the way I'm thinking up. Because, listen, I can get, hello? And I know that it's one of my sins in my life is the way I think when I'm driving. Come on, don't act like you don't think it too. Pastor's got missile launchers. Amen. We all got them, don't we? I'm telling you. And so I know that's one thing that can get me thinking the wrong way. And so, listen, in our lives, so many times we got to wake up in the morning and put on the new man and feed the new man and keep the old man dead. I love reading John Phillips, and he said this. He says, the old man is a corpse, and corpse can only think what somebody puts in them, and that's what Satan does. Corpse can't think for himself, in other words. He has to be fed what he thinks, right? Something, and Satan, listen, he is the master of playing the tricks in the mind. And here, Paul is telling the church, listen, at Ephesus, that you need to renew your mind. And the way that you do that, you've got to take off the old way of thinking. Listen, so many times, I've been reading the book by R.B. Ouellette, The Rewired. That's what I've been teaching in Sunday school. And one thing he says that, it's not wrong for something to come in your head. because it happens all the time, but it's wrong when it sticks around and ingrains in our head. And too many times as a Christian, we don't put off things. We allow it to stick around. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9 says this, "But now ye also put off all these." Now notice what he says. I want you to put off all these. It's up on the screen. Anger, that's why I don't go home. Wrath, that's why I don't go home. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one with another. Matter of fact, we're going to look at that here in a little bit too. "Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Look, notice that he says that you got to put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, we if we're going to change the way we think, we have to get away from the old man. How do we do that? Right here. You're in the right place tonight. And listen, when we get to Wednesday night, we need that extra little kick, don't we? And give me something, Lord, from your word. And I know we read our Bibles every day, but Wednesday night's our special time. We could come and hopefully just get the slate clean and get through the rest of the week. But listen, you cannot live in the old man and expect good thoughts to be in your mind. Right? Let me give you number two. Number two, notice what he says in verse 24. So first one is put off, taming the thinking. And then number two, we see, notice what he says in verse 24. He says, "And that you put on." So he says, okay, you put off the old man, but you got to put on the new. See, so many times we come to an altar and we ask God to forgive us of our sins and get rid of the sins, but yet we don't feel that back in with God's word. And what happens is that when you ask God to forgive your sins, and He does forgive you, that if you don't replace that with the Word of God and with good music and all that stuff, listen, that sin will come right back around. When you unload, you got to load something back in its way. And listen, there's no better thing to load than the new man who is created after Jesus Christ. And we'll notice that here in just a little bit. So number one, put off, so we're taming the thinking. Number two, we're putting on, and we're taming the tendencies. You see, when you're in the old man, you have old man tendencies. Hello? Listen, it's hard enough to live the Christian life, isn't it? But could you imagine living it without the Holy Spirit helping us change our tendencies? Well, maybe you had a tendency of whatever, maybe drug use or maybe this or that. But listen, I'm glad when I got saved, God gave me new tendencies. God gave me a new want to, and this is what He's saying here. You can't just put off without putting something in its place. And He tells us, He says, put on the new man. What new man is this? Which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, the old man is Adam. We all are born sinners, right? Hello? And Pastor used the illustration, and it is the best illustration. You don't have to teach a kid to be selfish. Why? Because they're born sinners. You say, "You don't know my little Susie. She's perfect." Yeah, you better wake up. That kid has you tricked. I used to always say this: if you believe that, then babysit some of our other kids, right? And you'll change your mind on that. But notice that he says here that we are to put on the new man. That word "new" is found here several times in this chapter, that to renew or new. What is it about new? Romans chapter 6 verse 4 tells us this. He says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in" what? In the newness of life. When we have a baptismal service, we say, "Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection," to walk what? In newness of life. You're picturing that Christ was buried, that he died and that he was buried, that you're buried with him. Listen, and when you're raised to give, he has given you life. He has made you brand new. A new name written down in glory? Written down. Romans chapter 7 verse 6 says, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Listen, we don't have to have the 613 laws read to us every day. Why is that? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. And Romans tells us that the laws are written on our heart. That, listen, I don't have to sit around and go, well, is this wrong or right? No, the Holy Spirit is going to be my convictor. He's going to help me. You know this one very well, Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, here it is, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You realize you cannot, unless your mind has been renewed, you cannot know the will of God, the true will of God. See, I always tell people this, is that don't make decisions when you're mad, right? It's kind of like don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry, right? So many people want to burst out of a church because they're mad at somebody, but they ought to stop and think about why, because in they're not right in their thinking. And you can't know the will of God if you're not renewed in your spirit of your thinking. And you must be spiritual in order to understand a spiritual will for your life. I'll give you a couple more verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Notice that word new, that God's saying, listen, you got to put on that new man. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. I want you to notice the wording of it there. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that was created him. We see kind of the same verse here. But listen, here it is. It says, and put on the newness, that by the put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge. Now, listen tonight, is that if we're living in the old flesh, it's going to be dangerous. I was telling either my class today, I think it was my seminary class today, is that so many people see how far they can go outside of God's will sometimes, and then they go, well, he didn't strike me dead. Right? I mean, there's people that they get away from God and they go, well, he didn't strike me dead, but they're miserable. And listen, God's going to do what he can to bring them back, just like he did Israel and Judah. He begged them to come back to me, come back to me. He sent them prophets. He sent them word, and he said, turn back to me, and I'll gather you back unto myself. And listen, God wants us tonight to put on the new man. He wants us to have right thinking, because when you put on the new man, guess who's doing the thinking for you? The Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. I love that. Now I want you to notice the last thing. Here we go. This is the one none of us are going to like. Number 3, look at verse 25. He says also, not only put off, put on, but he says put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, he could have wrote down a lot of things right there. He just said put away lying. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you say, I don't know what that means. Well, I had to do a little searching myself. I said, well, why would he just put lying down there? Why would that be the point where he would say? Because here's the thing, is that when you put on the new man, one of the very first things, matter of fact, let me read these to you. John 14:7, it's up there. John 14:7. I want you to notice these two verses. I'm going to read John 14:7 and John 16:13. I want you to notice, in John, he's talking about the ministry of the Spirit. Number one, he says in verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of, that's all he is, that's all he can be, because he is God. He is the Godhead. He is part of the Godhead, that he is truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. You know, he dwelleth in you, and he be in you. Now notice chapter 16 and verse 13. I want you to notice what he says. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all, say it class, truth. So if the Holy Spirit is leading your life, if you're living in the newness of life, you live in truth. You say, what does that mean? What does that mean? I don't just go over to my neighbors and go, hey, your chicken's out. And they say, we ain't got no chickens. And say, well, oh well, I'm ruining the joke. Chickens are... All right. Anyway, I'll throw that one in the trash. Delete. I can't remember now. But yeah, you know, I don't go over there to my neighbors and you know, obviously, I don't go to my neighbors and say, "Man, your backyard's on fire." They run out there and they go. But here's what this is in context meaning. Salvation outside of Christ is a lie. That we ought to speak the truth. What is the truth? God's word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, this in context, this is what it's saying, is that we are to tell the truth. We're not to say it's Christ plus sacrifice. It's not that you got to be circumcised and trust Christ. No, it's Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. That it's all about Jesus. Listen, it's not that you got to work your way to heaven. It's not that you got to join a church to get to heaven. It's just you have to put your faith in Jesus. And that's the truth. And listen, so many people today are not telling the truth. They're saying you got to believe this way or that way. You got to believe this. You got to do this. You got to give this. You got to whatever. But listen, the Bible's very clear. There's one way. There's one God that we serve. He says putting away, the last one he is the taming of the tongue. You see, what happens when you speak truth unto your neighbor, they realize that something's different in you. By the way, when you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're telling them the truth, they may reject you. Most probably will, and in today's society it seems that way. But you just keep telling the truth. The truth shall set you free. What is the truth? It is Jesus Christ. The spirit of our mind, that the way the believer acts outwardly is a manifestation of an inward change. You realize that a lot of people can tell what kind of person you are by your conversation. Right? I mean, I used to work in the world, and I worked at a Great Southern Wood Preserving in Battery, Alabama. And I worked the night shift. Loved the night shift. You know why? Because there was no bosses there. It was just us rugrats. Loved it. But when I got there, you know, I worked the night shift, and I knew one of the guys there, because me and him had got hired on at the same time, had to go through all those boring training videos together, and got some naps together while those videos were going on. And it don't take long to enter into a room and hear a conversation and know what kind of people they are. Hello? It don't take me long. I'm like, okay, that's not where I want to be, right? But what's sad is that how many of those are saved people? But the problem is they're living in the old man. See, they haven't put him off yet. And they've not put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is created after holiness and righteousness. And the thing is that they have not put away the way that they used to speak, the way that they used to carry on a conversation. But listen, when you have the renewed spirit of your mind, here's what happens. It changes outward things. It changes the way you think, but if you change the way somebody thinks, then you change the way they act. You want me to prove it to you? Look at how our schools are today. They told kids that you can be what you want to be. You ain't got to listen to authority. You ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do this. Blah, 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 blah. Well, that's why our society is the way it is. And I told our class this Sunday, and if you want to refute me, fine. But I'll win. I promise you, because social media, TV, anything that has to do with that is trying to change the way we think. They're trying to get us to smile and laugh at homosexuality. They're trying to get us to accept abortion. They're trying to get us to accept this and that. I'm telling you, just in those little 30-second commercials, two guys kissing, they're like, and it's just, you're like, did I just see what I just saw? Well, they put that in there enough and enough and enough. It's time to turn some of that stuff off. It's time to get off our phones. And more people, I tell you this, more people say, did you know this is true? It's on Facebook. I have people that call me literally and say, oh my soul, did you know this about this? I'm like, where did you get that? It's on Facebook. And it has to be true because they've already fact checked it for us. Probably just lost us. Where goes our Facebook now? Right? But that's the world we live in. Everything in this world is run by Satan. Listen, he is the prince and power of the air. That he's in control of this world. And listen, he wants your kids' minds. He wants your minds. He wants to take over how we think. And he wants us to get to thinking differently about the Bible and about church and about music and about everything, about raising kids and about the family and everything. He wants to change that thinking. And listen, how it starts is not when he comes out of the closet and goes, rah! When he begins to whisper it. You know how Delilah won? Every day. She went in there and asked Samson, wherein lieth thy strength? He didn't tell her, he lied. But I'm going to tell you, because she kept going in and kept going in, Samson finally said, here's how, I'm tired of you asking me. How many of us parents know you're not getting that? Now, hush. Come back again. Kids are smart. They're run by. No. What do we finally? Okay. Fine. That's on your third kid. Not on your first or second. Third one, you give up. Fourth one, you don't care. Are they even in the car? We don't care. I don't have four, so. But I'm going to tell you, that's how Satan works. He just keeps coming by every day. He just keeps coming by, and he just keeps bothering. And he just keeps whispering to you. He just keeps coming by. And before long, you're going to realize your defenses are going to go down. And the one day that you decide not to live in the new man, guess what? He's going to win a battle in your life. Listen tonight, I'm not pointing fingers at nobody, because I'm telling you, I've got this thing up here too. Pastor can tell you, when we're preaching, I can think of 6,000 things while I'm preaching. I mean, it's amazing how the mind is, isn't it? It's amazing that you can pick up a hymn book and sing, the old account was settled long ago, and I can be thinking about six other things. The mind is something that cannot be controlled by me and you. It's something that needs to be controlled by God. We need to put off the old man. We need to put on the new man. And we need to put away things that are causing us to think the wrong thing. And we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Well, we need a renewing, don't we? Listen, I'm glad every morning I can wake up and go, Lord, listen, how many of us, you ever go to bed and dream something that you've never thought of? Hello? I've had dreams about people I've never even thought of. And it's like, why did I dream about them? I dreamed about Tom Brady one time. I don't even watch football. I could care less what Tom Brady does, but I dreamed about him. I mean, you know, he was my servant. That was awesome. How do you do that? Because your mind left alone will create its own story. That's why before you go to bed, just say, Lord, protect my mind tonight. But I'm glad that I can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, forgive me for what I thought. You see, the Old Testament, I'll say this and I'm done. The Old Testament was all about the outward. The laws were made to control the outward. The 613 laws were made to control the outward. And when we get into the New Testament, Jesus did something amazing. Jesus said this. He said, remember all those 613 laws? Remember what I said about murder? I'm going to add something to it, that if you even think it, you've done it. Whoa. That makes us all guilty. Listen, we can't keep 613 laws, but listen, we can't live every day without a bad thought. Somebody said you can be in a coma and have a bad thought. Why? Because the brain left alone will create its own story. Because Satan is so powerful in putting things in front of us. You know what's dangerous about the mind too? I read this just this past week. Is the mind is something nobody sees. So it's a place we can conceal things. See, outwardly, we can't conceal it, right? But in the mind, we can. And we better be careful to leave things in there. We need to let God have it. Ask Him for forgiveness and He'll forgive you. Ask Him, Lord, I need to put off the old man. And when you wake up in the morning, when you get your day going, open this Bible and read it and get you a scripture. Get you a 3x5 card. That's probably old school, but get you something on your phone that rings and reminds you to read a verse or whatever it is. And just put the Word of God in there. That's what controls the mind. And let us all be renewed in the spirit of mind. Let's stand. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the night, God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, of things we think. And Lord, if we think them long enough, sometimes they become actions that we do. And so, Father, help us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Lord, I'm so thankful that you forgive us. And Lord, you'll cleanse our mind. Help us to put off, Lord, the old former person that we were, the old man. And Lord, help us to put on Christ. And Lord, help us to put away things in our life that are not pleasing to you. And there's a whole list of things. But Lord, I just pray that you would just help us tonight to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen, Pastor.